This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your life. Our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of September of the year 2010, and it's being put on audio in the month of January of the year 2025. And our subject scripture is taken from the Gospel of Saint Matthew, chapter number 1 and verse number 21. You have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. This is an angel speaking to Joseph about what is about to happen to his the woman that he is going to marry. He hasn't married her yet, but he's getting ready to marry her. He's thinking about not even marrying her, because she's found to be with child, and you know the story, so I won't go into detail. But anyway, the angel, in explaining what this was all about, said to Joseph about what was happening to Mary. He says, "As she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, I want to put an emphasis on the word "from." From their sins. The title for a message is "God Bless America" in the form of a question. Don't count on it. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains, through the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. As accordingly. This song, which has a very special meaning to many in this nation, is known for its short and to the point message which calls on God to bless this entire nation and everyone in it, no matter where they are or on what economic level they find themselves. Look at the words and you will see there is no call to bless any particular segment of this nation, but rather to bless all of us. For truly, anyone that names the name of Christ not be selfish in calling on God to bless just them. A preacher once said, in an example of a selfish prayer, "Lord, bless me, my wife, my two kids, us four, and no more." The reason being, if one of us is blessed and the others are in need, then we may find ourselves, and rightly so, having to share our blessings with those that are not as blessed as we are. If the entire land were blessed, everyone in it would be on the same level, and there would be no envy, hatred, or any other conflict that is usually labeled us versus them. That, my friends, is a nice way of thinking, and beseeching God for that is a good thing. The only problems would be people who are not satisfied being equal with everybody else, but they want to be above. However, in all of this, there is one thing that most of us, I am using us generically because I have long since changed my way of thinking, have failed to consider, and that one thing is the very thing that will keep this nation from being the fulfillment of the vision that we would want it to be, and that is blessed. Is God capable of giving us what we ask for in this song? Most definitely, yes. Will He do it? Not as long as things stay the way that they are. You see, God is most definitely willing to be and able to fulfill His part in blessing this nation, but He will only do it if we meet His prerequisites, conditions, or requirements. And herein lies the problem. If you will look at the subject verse, most of you recognize it as being the prophecy that an angel of the Lord gave. He gave it to Mary, but he was explaining it to Joseph as pertaining to the child that she was going to give birth to. He was going to be the Savior of His people. The first thing I want you to notice is this: He did not come to save the world, but rather His people. There is a big difference in what we want to believe about the mission of Christ and what His mission and that of the church today is. True, Christ did come so that every single solitary person that walks the face of the earth could be saved from the punishment of sin. However, the only way for that to occur is if they become His followers or saved. Now look at the subject verse again. Do you see that four-letter word that is underlined, or in this case that I emphasized earlier? When I was reading the scripture, I emphasized it. That word is as insignificant as it may seem, is the single biggest problem this nation has as to why we will never see God's blessing this nation the way we ask Him to. The reason He won't do it is because we want Him to bless us while we are still in our sins. However, in order for Him to save and bless us, He has to separate us from our sins. You see, this nation, which has been blessed abundantly by God, is in serious trouble. The reason being, it has slipped away from the position it was in back some 50 or more years ago. At the time, even though it was not perfect, it was making strides to acknowledge God and His commandments. It strove to be all that God wants it to be, and God in return supplied the blessings that made us the greatest nation on the earth. It's like we would take one step towards godliness and He would take two steps towards blessing us. However, as time marched on, things started to happen that slowed that progress, then stopped it, and then started reversing it as the people began to rebel against the laws of the land that acknowledged God or Christ. Just like the children of Israel, after all the blessings God gave them, especially after He delivered them from Egypt, they got out in the wilderness, headed for the promised land, and what happened? When God gave Moses the laws and commandments that they were to live by before they crossed over into the promised land, and He told the people, they rebelled. Mind you now, these were the same people who cried and moaned and pleaded to God for nearly 400 years while in bondage. These are the same people that witnessed the plagues that God sent on Egypt, especially the death of the firstborn. These are the same people that saw God split the Red Sea so that they could go over on dry land. Yet, the minute God gives them rules to live by, they had a fit. I mean, they turned on Moses and wanted to kill him. They began to say they wished that they were back in Egypt where there was plenty of food for them to eat. I mean, they got downright rebellious. And though their anger was directed at Moses, the fact that Moses was God's anointed and was following His direction, God viewed this as an attack on Him, God. Well, what was the result? They suffered and died in the wilderness. Every last one of them that had rebelled against God died before the remnant of those that were delivered from Egypt that followed God's directions through Moses and the new generation, the children that were born in the wilderness to the parents that had been disobedient and rebellious to God, were able to go into the promised land. That situation is being played over again right here in this nation. We have a bunch of people that want to experience the promised land blessings, but they don't like the rules. There are people in this country that fled from their home country because of bad conditions, dictatorships, poverty, famine, hopelessness, misery, disease, and whatever, to come to America, the land that God had blessed abundantly, because we were founded on the principles of His Word, putting our faith in Christ. These other people, hearing about the land of opportunity or the promised land, did whatever they had to do to get here. And after they got here and started to get their lives turned around and started prospering, then they started to murmur and complain about some of our laws, usually those that reflected this nation's Christian heritage, that they felt offended by, and began to fight against those laws so that they could pursue their own religious belief from their own homeland. Now, I want you to think about this, and I mean no disrespect, but if the God that you serve, this is to those people from those other lands, if the God that you served in your country, in your home country, wasn't doing anything for you except letting you suffer and die, then why would you want to come over here to get away from that suffering, then want to return back to Him in rebellion to the God of this country that has blessed you? Do you see how foolish that is? However, it gets worse, because people in this nation that were born here and have enjoyed God's blessing all their lives want to join these people and take up their cause and even worship their God as well. Some don't even want to acknowledge God at all. They want to deny that He even exists. And as their numbers grew, they began to pass laws that essentially reflected their rebellion against Him. Well, what do you think God did about this? Did He sit idly by and do nothing? Of course not. He began to withhold His blessings on those that rebelled against Him. As I look at the absolute foolishness that passes for intelligence in these things that some people do in this nation, it reminds me of those scriptures found in Proverbs chapter 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16 and 25, both of which say the exact same thing. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Then you got 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse starting at verse number 19. The Apostle Paul writes, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The smarter we think we are getting, the dumber we are actually becoming. Anytime a nation can come up with some of the ludicrous notions that it does in spite of the facts which it refuses to look at, then that nation is on a fast track to destruction. Let me give you the most glaring example of this foolishness that I am talking about: abortion. Here we have the miracle of birth being turned into an inconvenience which can be arbitrarily done away with because it is nothing more than a tumor or some parasite that needs to be gotten rid of. Never mind what God says about it. Never mind what the ultrasound images show. Never mind what millions of women that have had the procedure experienced afterwards. The guilt, the sense of loss, the depression, and other things. Our response is ignore God's word. Don't look at the images, and to keep the women from feeling guilt or depression and the rest of what comes with it, isolate them from having to be made to feel guilty. Notice what they are endeavoring to do is stay with this abomination that is destroying their lives and this nation, while at the same time singing God Bless America. Think about it from this standpoint. Almost every day, the news gives us a running count of how many of our military personnel have been killed in wars that we are fighting. As of this writing, talking about 2010, I believe it is around 5,000. I could be wrong. And they talk about how tragic that is. Now, compare that number with 56 million. That is the number of abortions that have occurred in this nation since 1972. 1.5 million per year and counting. If the news media dared announce that every day, they would probably be sued and shut down. Well, God is keeping track of the numbers, and He is doing something about it. His response is, since you refuse to acknowledge this abomination and are killing these babies, which by the way are His babies, that you say aren't human, I will not protect or bless those children of yours that you have with you. The end result is your kids are killing each other, dying of diseases that usually happen to old people. They are killing themselves by suicide, dying in accidents, and you name it. More next month. Well, I hope you begin to see the picture here as to the nonsense that we are actually going through in this nation under the perception of calling ourselves on the one hand God to bless us while at the same time killing all these millions of babies every year, and we still expect want to say God bless America, God bless America. It's just plain idiotic is the best way to put it, really. But I'm not going to get into too much detail because, like I said, since this is a three-part message, I will reserve commentary until I get through with part number three. Then hope by then you'll probably get the whole picture where I won't really need to be making a commentary. So until then, this is Evangelist George McTire saying to you and yours, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.